It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 8th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. We've been reporting on the Sony Pictures hack that brought down the company's computers, exposed social security numbers, and brought the company's security systems into question. There have been other stories in recent weeks about hackers whose behavior suggested ties with Wall Street, about other hackers who seem to be working from Russia. In the case of Sony, some people think the attack originated in North Korea. We wanted to learn more about how hackers can leave clues that reveal their location. So we called up Roger Kay. Roger is founder of Endpoint Technologies Associates. Roger, thanks for talking with us.
Ben, my pleasure.
I want to make sure we clarify this. The code that makes up the malware that we're talking about here isn't written in Korean per se, but it had comment tags on it that were in Korean.
Probably the easiest way to think about it is that humans write in human-readable stuff. That has to be compiled into something called object code, which is actually put on the computers, and that's what runs. The stuff that they discovered was object code, which is to say machine-readable. However, there are things that happen. For example, things like variable names. And when you're making your program, you have to have a way of debugging it. And one of the ways you do that is the debugging programs reference these variables. So there's words, which could be English words, or they could be words like Hamgyong Mountains or Ungok, and a careful programmer would strip them out. But perhaps the programmers were a little more arrogant. They thought, well, nobody's really going to notice or something. So it's a possibility of slipping up and leaving them in.
What other clues might a foreign coder leave behind?
There's also this issue of strings. There's human-readable character strings that remain in the object code. For example, if there were an error message that said something like, bad input, try again, that particular string would still be in the code, even though the rest of it was just ones and zeros. So there could even be 50 instances of capitalist running dogs buried in the code just for fun. And you might say, well, that's a little unusual. I don't think an American programmer would do that. So it's not as distinct as an actual fingerprint. It's sort of the characteristics of the style of code that's done by certain types of people. And those fingerprints are known by experienced hands who are used to looking at this kind of thing.
Now, I know that at least one North Korean diplomat has denied that the country was involved in this hack, but all signs are at this point still pointing in that direction, correct?
As far as I know there was some early discussion that it might have been a dissatisfied Sony employee, but now at this point all the information seems to be pretty unified that it's coming out of North Korea. I would expect them to deny it, but that doesn't mean they didn't do it.
Roger Kay is founder and president of Endpoint Technologies Associates. Roger, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
A recent Pew study found that some 30% of adults in the U.S. get their news from Facebook, so there is a special and growing form of righteous rage that lives on Facebook comment threads below fake stories. I tried to go and find somebody's honest mistake on my feed where they posted a story without understanding it wasn't real. Turns out my friends are more interested in beard selfies and short films. Our friend Will Arimus, though, has been writing about this. Will, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Ben.
Facebook. Most people get news there, but it also strikes me as one of those places where people get news that's fake.
Well, the problem is, as I see it, that Facebook's algorithms are meant to bump up things that are being widely shared, and those tend to be things that are really eye-catching, things that are surprising, and things that try to compel you to share them. And it turns out that hoaxes are just that kind of thing. I think Facebook's algorithms are incredibly friendly to hoaxes. And so I've proposed a way for Facebook to possibly combat that.
All right, go on. Tweak the algorithm or what?
Tweak the algorithm. Yeah. Facebook has ways of using its algorithm to preference some types of stories over others. For instance, if you announce big life news on Facebook, Facebook is now going to recognize that by the fact that people are going to be saying the word congrats in the comments. So when Facebook's machines see the word congrats in the comments, they say, okay, this might be big life news. Let's show this to a lot of people. The idea is, couldn't they do basically the reverse of that for posts that have, say, links to Snopes.com or comments that say, this is a hoax or debunked? Why couldn't Facebook's algorithms use that to maybe not censor the story, but maybe just slow the spread so that those stories do not become the ones most likely to go viral on Facebook?
Why do you think the company is not already doing this?
I talked to Facebook about it. They sounded sort of intrigued, but they also have a pretty firm philosophy, which is that all of their algorithm tweaks are designed to improve users' subjective experience of the site. But what they told me was objective truth is not what we're trying to optimize for, and so we don't see ourselves doing something like this anytime soon.
Will Oremus, senior tech writer at Slate.com. Will, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben.
And before we go today, remember we were talking the other day about Amazon's new robot army that helps pack boxes in fulfillment centers during this busy holiday season? Well, a couple of goat farmers in Texas got a weird package last week. It was supposed to be a book about chickens sent from a friend. Goat farmer Lisa Seeger says a box did arrive.
And it was all beat up, and there was a big hole in the box that had been taped over. And my husband opened it and out plopped this 9-pound cylinder magical thing.
The magical thing appeared to be a cylinder that was part of a conveyor belt. After some phone calls to the sending friend and filling out an online form at Amazon, the UPS guy showed up to take it away.
They also said, oh, we're resending that book. It'll take 2 weeks. Because I found it amazing that they could deploy a UPS guy in approximately 6 hours, but it's still going to take 2 freaking weeks for a book on chickens.
Well, there you have it, folks. Sometimes even Amazon's input-output mechanisms break. Hope you get that chicken book soon, Lisa. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.